appreciate the goodness of God, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with here with you, with my daughter, son-in-law, grandsons, and you people of the church. I've enjoyed it. It is always a pleasure to come and be with you. And you are blessed to have the Spirit of the Lord in your presence among you. That is one of the most honored things that a church can have, is the presence of the Lord. And without it, we're just going through the motions. We're just, you know, I've been places to where I've watched it in camp meetings, holiness people, at least my standards. And I watched them, that they would, those ministers would do his best every night to hype those people up. And sometimes it was working up a shout, and by myself, I deplore that. I just don't like it. I feel like it's wrong. I feel like if we live like we're supposed to, and we come together, God will be there in the midst of us. Isn't that what he said in his word? He said that, didn't he? He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, I'll be in the midst. Amen. So, we're wasting our time, and we're just fooling ourselves if we come together and show off our talent or what we think we're able to do. And God is not with us. And I'm so thankful that we can have the presence of God if we pay the price for it. And many people go to church and just pass off that everything's all right between them and God, and in many cases it's not. So I want to be there. I want to be one of those. I want to make sure everything is right between me and God.
Hallelujah.
I don't care for that kind of stuff. It doesn't do us any good, does it? But I'm glad that we can have the presence of the Lord, and you are blessed to have ministers here that is concerned about that, and that God is able to give us his presence every time we come together, right?
Yes.
Isaiah chapter 40, if you would, please.
Hallelujah.
And pray for me. I never cease to get nervous. One of the greatest preachers that I ever knew or ever heard preach said after 35 years of preaching, he still got nervous. And I said to myself, if Ray Hughes has a right to be nervous, then I have a right to be nervous. So I just took that up. One preacher said, science is doing a lot of wonderful things, and if they ever make anything to keep you from getting nervous, he said, I'm going to get me a bunch of it. So I kind of feel that way too, you know. Amen. But God is able to make a difference, isn't he? Chapter 40, and I want to read, let me start at verse 26, if you would, and read with me. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want you to go back with me and look. He said, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things? Look at them. Who is it that has created these things, the writer said. And he calleth them by names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, not one faileth, not one. What God we serve.
What God.
Why sayest thou, Jacob, and speaketh, O Israel, my way is hid from him? Hid from God. He's the everlasting God. Why do we think that we can hide anything from God? And the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, the Bible said here, he fainteth not. Neither is he weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And then it said, he giveth power to the faint, to those that are weak, to the faint-hearted, to the physically faint people. He gives power. Amen. And to them that have no might at all. Weaklings, we would say. They're just not able to do anything. He said, to them, I'm able to give power. I'm able to give strength.
Yes, yes.
I'm able to give them a portion of my might. He said, even the youth shall faint. They shall. It doesn't matter. He said, the youth, though they are youth and full of vigor and them and anything that we can say about them, I've seen the youth run and play all day. Not many look like they would never give out and never give up and never quit. Just run, romp, and play and tussle and all of those things. He said, but even the youth are going to faint. Sometime or another, they are going to faint. Doesn't matter how strong they are, how young they are. He said, they're going to faint. And be weary, he said. And the young men shall utterly fall. Young men is the one that seem like in the prime of life, they have a strength. I've watched them. They have a strength that just nobody can match it. It's just, they're muscled up. I remember when I was young, I could just lift. I could do anything. I could work hard all day, go home, and then work some more when I got home. Not anymore. Can't do that anymore. But the Lord here is telling that everybody, sometime or another, is apt to faint, or get faint-hearted, or get down, or get troubled, and need some strength, need some help. He's trying to draw us a picture and say to us, I am the Lord God of heaven, and I do not get weak. I am never weak. I have power, I have might, I have strength, and I'm able to give it to those that have need of it. Amen? But there was some conditions. God wanted them to recognize that he was their God, and that he was able to deliver, and that he was able to meet their needs. And that's exactly what God wants out of us tonight. Not only tonight, but every day of our lives. He just wants us to recognize that he is God, and that he's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-present God. All-present God. Always there. He never, never fails. God never fails. It is impossible for God to fail.
Right.
He cannot fail, and he will not fail.
Amen.
But we must believe that. We
Say it again. Shall renew their strength. Amen. They shall mount up. Mount up means to overcome. It means to many things. But one of the things it means to mount up is to overcome, to get above whatever problem you have. That's what God wants to do for us. Help us get above our problems. Get above those things that pull us down. Those things that make us weary. Those things that make us faint-hearted. He wants us to know that He's a God that is able to deliver. A God that is able to meet every need in our life, regardless of what that need is. You could not ever have a need so great that it would make God nervous. It would make God walk up and down, heaven and right the throne room and say, I'm so afraid that somebody's going to send up a request that I cannot fulfill. That is not our God. He's not wringing His hands. Our God has confidence because He's all-powerful and all-knowing and all-seeing. He has confidence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. But there is an order. There is something we have to do. And He said, you have to wait on me. You have to wait on me. That is the thing that we are the most impatient people in the world. Here in America especially. Other countries have had to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. But we, we want it instantly now. Give it to me now. Give it to me yesterday. They coined that saying. I need it yesterday. Amen. But I can tell you, God is a God of now, God of now, and a God of the future. Amen. He said the faint-hearted would get in trouble and the weak would get in trouble. But He said, I will never get in trouble. I will never. Amen. See a job too great for me to do. But then He said, you got to wait on me. You got to wait on me. We got to learn to trust God. That's one of the hardest things in the world for Christian people to do in our day. And He said, you wait on me, they that wait upon the Lord. And He uses a word, a positive word, shall, He said, renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I've shared a little bit with you before when I was preaching, the eagle, he never lets a storm worry him. It doesn't bother him. He'll mount up in that storm and rise above all the winds and all the dangers of that storm. And God said, here in His word, He said, if you wait on me, you'll rise up above all your problems, all your troubles. And I'll give you strength. If you wait on me. Amen. But we are impatient people. We do not want to wait on God. But I can tell you, if we wait, the Lord will meet our need. Amen. He wants trust. God not only desires trust, but He demands that we trust Him. Come on. Amen. He demands that. When we go before God, God doesn't just say, well, they need this, and they need this, and they need this. God looks at your life. And God examines your life. Say what you want to. He examines your life. And if your life is not according to His word, if your life is not according to His demands, if your life is not according to God's commandments and God's desires, then you have, God has He's offended at what you're doing. You're coming before Him and wanting Him to do something, and God says, I'm not going to do that because you've got sin in your life, or because you're disobeying me, or because you're not doing my will, so therefore I cannot do that. Wait upon the Lord doesn't mean just wait till God takes a notion to do it. We wait for examination. David talked about it in several scriptures. Amen. That we wait for the examination. When God deals with man, He deals with him with what? Because of what is in his life. Amen. In Psalms 119, if you'd like to turn there with me, I want to read a few verses of scripture. Psalms 119, verse 65. May read some more verses out of that same scripture if you want to hold it. Psalms 119 and 65. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. The psalmist David here is saying, when God deals with you, He deals with you according to what is in His word. He uses the word of God to draw the measure upon you. Amen. And believe you me, that God will draw the measure upon. I had Him draw it upon me. My life was not exactly what He wanted to be when I would go before Him. I have never went before God, but what I didn't allow God to examine my life and see if He was pleased with my life, I know better than that. Yes. Amen. God is an all-seeing, all-knowing God. Yes. He sees what's in you and I. He knows us, amen. From the crown of our head to the sole of our feet, God knows everything about us, amen. There's no use in me going there and trying to hee-haw around and say, God, you know. Yes, He knows. That's exactly right. He does know. He knows what's in my life, amen. He knows if I have failed. He knows if I need to ask Him to forgive me. Yes, He does. And so the David said here, God, you've dealt well with me. We're going to get and see what that word dealt with means. You've dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Verse 67, therefore I was afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now here is something we do not like. We just don't like it at all. We don't want to admit that God afflicts His people. He afflicted Israel. Every time they went astray, every time one of the prophets did wrong, God afflicted. He sent affliction among His people. And God is not changed, folks, because we're under grace. Amen. The psalmist David, Amen. He realized that when he sinned with Bathsheba. He said, I've got to make it right. All the thing that he had going for him, folks, was he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, and blot out my transgression. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Verse 68, thou art good and dost good. Teach me. Here he's saying, God, you're good. You're good. You're not bad. You're not wrong. You don't do wrong about nothing. I have confidence when I go before God. I have confidence. Even if I know that I have not prayed like I should. Even if I know that I have not fulfilled my duty, I have confidence in God. That if I confess my faults, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Is that what he said? Even somebody said, well, Brother Boss, I got no confidence, and you're telling me that you often have to go before the Lord and ask God to forgive you. Well, just keep track of yours. Amen. We'll come back sometime or another and you can compare them with me. Okay? That's right. I would never tell you that I have never had to ask God to forgive me since I started on this Christian journey. I doubt if there's a man or a woman or a boy or a girl under my hearing tonight that can say that. We're fooling ourselves if we think that we can come before God. He doesn't know what's in our heart and what's in our heart. Wait upon the Lord. Wait before the Lord. wait and see what God answers you and what I will say when I am reproved. Oh, come on. Because God's going to reprove you if you're not walking according to his word. If you're not doing like you're supposed to, God's going to reprove you. Amen? He said here in verse 70 or 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. I might learn, God, what you demand, what you have demanded of me. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. David was saying, when I learn your commandments, God, then I'll know how to please you. If I know what's in your word, I know how to please you. We need to know his word so that we'll know how to please God. Hey, they that hear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hope in thy word. You see, people that's doing good, they're doing real good. They're like, I'll just use preachers. You know, you see preachers that has God anointed, and they get up to preach, and they just, I mean, the Lord helps them do real good, and they have that anointed. I'm telling you, God has touched that man's life. Mm-hmm. It's not anything that he has done except be obedient to the word of God. Right. Be obedient, that's all, that's all. I tell you, take God out of my life, I fall flat on my face. Take God away from you, and we'll all die and go to hell. You hear me? Every one of us. Yes, sir. Make a more for hallelujah. Verse 75, look at it. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. Your judgments are right, God. You have a right to judge me, and they're righteous, and they're right. And I know that, God. And sometimes we live, if somebody needs what I'm fishing to say, sometimes we live just like that. God turns his hand while we're failing. He turns his hand while we do our little ways. Amen. Come on. He doesn't turn his hand. No. Hey, hey, come on. He is taking to heart everything that we do, saints. God is mindful of how you live. Oh, I feel the presence of God. In faithfulness, God. In faithfulness, you have afflicted me, Lord. In faithfulness, God has afflicted us. When we don't do right, when we don't pray like we ought to, there is nothing but condemnation in our lives. And when we go before God, God's going to say to us, hey, you don't have to wait on me. You don't have to let me examine you. You don't have to let me see what's in your life and put my finger on what's in your life. You'll do it too. You'll do it. Pray for me. Hallelujah. I want you to look at the word dealt with me, if you would, please. And it means to fashion, accomplish, and make. The word dealt. God, you dealt well with me. You've done everything you could to fashion me. Wait, they that wait upon the Lord. May him no more hope. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. They that wait upon the Lord. Those that I can fashion their lives. Jesus. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in you. Feel the Holy Ghost in you.
Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Your word has fashioned me, David was saying. It is a creative process. In other words, it is a creative process that God wants to work upon your life. The psalmist David said in Psalms 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. Create in me a clean heart. It is a creative process that God wants to work in our individual lives. Yes, he's a mighty God. Yes, there's nothing impossible with him. Nothing too hard for him to do. But before he works for us, amen, he's going to examine us and see, amen, if there's anything in our lives that he's not pleased with.
Hallelujah.
Then he said, it means also to make and produce work on us and make and produce. He was saying, actually, in reality, your word has produced something good out of my life. Something good out of my life. Your words. And sometimes we get a little upset, you know, because we hear so much preaching. But I want to tell you something. There is nothing any greater, nothing in this world any greater than the preaching of God's word. Nothing more important goes across this pulpit or out of this choir, amen, than the preaching of God's word. Nothing. 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 Amen. God, by the preaching of his word, he molds and shapes and fashions our lives.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Yes, he does.
Praise the Lord.
We don't like that. We don't like that. I love you. I brag on this church all the time. Everywhere I go, I brag on this church. I'm going to say something, and you best not let it go to your head. But if I had one church that I was going to go to and be part of, it would be this church right here. Right here. But that does not give you any right or anything to feel like that you can get anything by the Lord. No, sir. No, sir. It's a careless act of ours, and a brave and bold act of ours, to think that we can pass anything by God. Cannot do that. When he tells me to preach, he tells me to preach whatever the Lord gives to me. And that's what I'm going to do. A preacher, he preaches because he loves humanity. That's why he preaches. Because he loves humanity. It was many of them Old Testament prophets that God said, go and tell them. Ah, Lord, they won't hear me. That somehow or another God made them understand and see that they were Israel's only hope. Son of man, I've made you a watchman. I'm going to say something to God, your pastors here. They're doing, my nurse is doing a good job. Great job. How many of you take time out to pray for them? Take time out to pray for them. If you don't, you're failing. You're failing. David was saying, Lord, your word has produced something good out of my life. Only if you obey it, that's all. Only if you obey it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Can I be finished? Shepherds are particular of the food, fruit. First, and what is the first and the second? Paul talked about that. First particulars of the fruit. And you're supposed to be second to take us. Wait, before the Lord. I say, wait before the Lord. Wait before the Lord. This church is only as powerful as its entrance for God is. That's all. It's no more powerful than that. It's only as powerful as God's entrance is. If the doors are swung wide open, I feel the Holy Ghost. And God's entrance is everybody's steps back in awe. I've seen you come here, rise to your feet, begin to praise God, begin to worship God. I've seen the presence of God just take this place over. Hear what God is saying? I put my approval upon what you're doing. Put my approval upon what you're doing. Amen. This is one of the reasons, Father, that I don't get too many appointments to preach. Because I'm straight, just straight forward. Straight down the gun barrel. Amen. And then he said, thoroughly furnished. He said, your word has prepared me for use. For use. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel in honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. It means also to attain, and it means to put in order. Lord, you've dealt with me, you've put my life in order. My life? It's not my life, really. It belongs to God, doesn't it, folks? It belongs to God. But David was saying, you put my life in order by your word. When you deal with me, God, you put me in order. I made a statement when I was preaching, near the camp meeting, I think it was. Something about order. Brother Messer told me that, you know, he was working on something and he had something. And I've never preached on our lives being in order per se. But I want to tell you something, folks. I have a greater desire now in my heart, my life, than I've ever had in all of my ministry, is to make sure that my life is in order. Amen. It's in order.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. I'm working on a message and I started asking Brother Woods if he would maybe help me a little bit on it. He's got more education, studies, probably more than I do. On a little space, a little time. It's a little space and a little time. And that's all we got left, saints. We just got a little space. And we just got a little time. Just a little time. Jesus is coming. We're running out of time. We're running out of time. We're just running out of time, folks. We are the remnant. You hear me? The church that believes in him, the church that trusts him, the church that has his power in their midst, they are the remnant. There's many so-called holiness churches today that do not want what you got here. They're not in, see, you're not in control here. I don't care what you think or what you say, you're not in control here. It is God that's in control. Amen. It is God that's in control of our lives. Wait upon the Lord. If you want to renew your strength, wait upon the Lord God of heaven. Let him put order to your life, amen. Let him go over it, amen. If it needs any sanctification, let him sanctify you. Let him do what? Let him cleanse you. Let him make you whole.
Hallelujah.
I was to go back to waiting on the Lord. But he did say, he was actually saying, your word has put my life in order. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's talking about, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law that he meditate there now. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Shall prosper. We need to prosper. You know why we need to prosper? We need to let the world see that this thing is real. That it's real. I have a hunger in my heart to let people know that it's real. And for that to happen, it takes God moving in your life. It takes God. It's not just a go-to-church thing. No. It is God working in your life.
Amen.
There's many people that go to church, go through the motion, but God is not moving in their lives. I don't mean shouting necessarily. That'll come along with it. God wants us to shout. God wants us to rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
He wants our lives to be fulfilled with his word, with his plan. He's got a plan for each of our lives. And he wants it to be fulfilled. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to have to walk and talk and breathe Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Yes.
Before it'll be fulfilled in our lives. Let me read you a little bit of scripture here. We're going to try to close shortly. In Psalms 27:14, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Here the psalmist David said, if you wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off. Thou shalt see it. We're going to see it one day, folks.
Amen.
When the wicked is cut off, we're going to see it. That ought to make a shout right there, right?
Amen.
Yeah. Wicked's always bothering and showing off. Doing their things. But I can tell you one thing. If we wait on the Lord, be truth and faithful, true and faithful to God, one day we're going to see the wicked come on.
Yes.
But you got to wait on the Lord.
Yes, you do.
Woo! Me and the wife have been going through some things in the past year or so, but we've been waiting on the Lord.
Praise God.
It's going to help us too.
Yes.
It's going to help us.
Amen.
In your patience, Luke said, in your patience, possess ye your soul. In your patience. That takes patience to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Amen.
You can't be headstrong and gung-ho and all that stuff. It takes patience to wait upon the Lord. Going to do what he said he was going to do. I don't know when he's going to do it, but we are only to wait for it. We are to be faithful to God. But Brother Ross, I'm going through a trial. I'm going through tribulations. I'm going through hardships and difficulties and disappointments in life. Well, just wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Amen. And I tell you right now, he'll come to you in your tribulations. He'll come to you in your hardships and your difficulties. He'll come to you with a trial. See, like you can't bear it. Amen. He will come to you. Yes, he will. I know I can never fail me. He never has failed me. I failed him, but he has never failed me. Never failed me. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. Romans 12 and 12. Rejoice in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. There's a secret to it. Right there. Continuing instant in prayer. Praying. Continuing in prayer. Amen. Pastor, talk about prayer Sunday. Brother Woods. Talk about prayer Sunday. Tell you. Not only did he help me, but he kind of dug me up a little bit. Yeah, I'm a praying person. Sometimes we don't wait before the Lord, I was here. We don't stay there until we know we have touched God. We just feel like we are relieved if we spend just a little portion of time. Right. Well, I can't pray, Brother Ross. That's where you're wrong. You're wrong. You can pray. Let's look at what James said. James said, Elijah was a man in like passion as we are. Like passion as we are. We're the same maker. Come on, same disposition. He's just like us. He was just a human being. That's right. He got discouraged. Come on, he got despondent. He got down. But he prayed. Hallelujah. He prayed. He sought God. Amen. Shout the heavens and get rain for 3 years and 6 months. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But he prayed again. The heavens gave rain. Amen. And the earth brought forth fruit. I preached a little message one time on prayer. We'll produce. I'm telling you, prayer will produce. When I shut myself in the little study I got at home, she's in the living room, and said, you should pray with her. I like to pray by myself. Do whatever you want to me. I just like to get by myself praying. I pray in the church with other folks, but I like to pray by myself. That was it. Anything to see the cause of prayer. Nothing against it, nothing wrong with it. I know time's running out. Instant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. You have to wait before the Lord. Be patient with God. Before you can be patient with all men. Sometimes you're going to get aggravated with somebody. Actually, if you'll wait before the Lord, like you should, you'll be patient with all men. Oh, I've had some problems with it. But God's been helping me with it. I want people to drive like I drive. There's some of you sitting on the bench and do the same thing. You want to drive like you drive. I'll say, let's look at that, would you? God's helping me. God's helping me, folks. Pray that wait upon the Lord. Shall renew your strength. I don't know about you, but I need to renew my strength. I don't have a church to attend like you. Now, since I told you that, you owe me, you're obligated to pray for me on a daily basis. Don't forget it. I believe you will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:16-36. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You have need of patience. Wait upon the Lord. You have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Hallelujah. James 1:4, but let patience have her what? Perfect work. Patience have a perfect work in your life. Yes, sir. Without it, we sure are not perfect. Let patience have its perfect work in your life. Amen. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, wanting nothing. Look at that, wanting nothing. Not wanting anything. You're saying here, if patience works in your life, you don't have to be always wanting. You always have. If patience works in your life, you'll have it. Amen. 2 Peter 1:6, and to knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, and patience, godliness. And patience, godliness. Look at that. Look at that. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. It was a thing next, right next to godliness. If you look at that scripture where Peter, in 1 Peter, I believe it is, or 2 Peter chapter 1, it is, and verse 5, I think it is, and beside this, giving all diligence, you add to your faith a virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. If these things, he said, if these things, charity included, if these things be in you, you shall never fall. Never fall. Waiting upon the Lord, brother. Man, we'll never fall. But we have trouble waiting on the Lord. We're going to fail. Absolutely fail. Amen. We just stand with me. I believe God wants to help us. I believe he wants to help us. I really do.
Yes, sir.
I was in question about what to preach to you tonight. But after I got started, I said, Lord, this is it. This is the message.
Yes.
And so I want us to spend a little time in prayer. Come to the altar, find your place where you're at to pray. And ask the Lord to help you to wait on him. To wait on the Lord. He's great, he's mighty, he's powerful. If we wait on him, God will help us. Let's pray. Hallelujah.